And they run through our ass like shit through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
It's ridiculous that they do. That was a huge colony. Well, we didn't miss it. You know, the typical rah, 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 zip, boom, bah, boo.
You don't cuss. You don't drink. So what are your vices?
I have been known to chew a bit of tobacco when I get a little tired or watching film.
Hey, I'm Coach O. I just love my Hummer. I have my Hummer. You need a Hummer? Tell them about it, JoJo.
They've won the biggest championship, and that's the championship of life.
Gas control. Everybody just do your job. You understand that?
Welcome in to the latest episode of That SEC Podcast. I'm your host, Michael Breton. I go by SEC Mike on Twitter. And I'm joined, as always, by my cousin Shane, who goes by Big Orange Vols on Twitter. What are you up to, you big Tennessee homer?
Hey, buddy. How the hell are you?
I'm doing good now that I finally got you away from that damn Red Dead Redemption 2, Shane. How's it feel to get away from the damn video game system?
Oh, geez. I tell you what. I've got to do something with my life, Mike, because... I mean, that thing will consume you. They should have clinics for that thing. I'm telling you, I'm out here hunting bison and robbing trains. I mean, it's next level stuff. I've always wanted to be a cowboy, Mike, and now I get to do it.
Well, speaking of cowboys, Shane, I think that's a perfect segue into, you know, before we get into our SEC action here. Old Mike Gundy, you know, we've opened with Mike Leach. Now we go to another Mike Gundy. Obviously, we're not going to break down this Oklahoma State game. I didn't even watch it. But from what I understand, Oklahoma State scored a touchdown at the very end. They went for two for the win. You know, they don't get it, they lose the game. Mm-hmm. They didn't get it. Mike Gundy was asked about it, and he just gave a perfect response. We just wanted to share this before we get into the SEC action.
Well, I'm the only guy that matters on that. I don't give what they think. They pay me to do that, and that way y'all can criticize.
All right, Shane, old Gundy don't give a damn.
Oh, Gundy. I don't give a damn about him, Mike. You know, turn the Tennessee job down. So good for him getting that loss. I don't hold grudges, Mike, but I do, you know.
All right, Shane, jumping into the SEC action. Of course, we got to start number one team in the nation here. And they're just unbeatable when they especially have the help of the SEC refs. Oh, Alabama wins 24-0 over Mississippi State. Dominating performance. I think I heard something like this was the first back-to-back shutout performances by Alabama's defense since, I think, 1980, which is pretty remarkable. What was your main takeaway here from the Crimson Tide's 24-0 win?
God, Mike, you know how to ruin my day, don't you? I'm on cloud nine. You want to talk about $100? Do you know what the spread was on this game, Mike?
It was 23.5, and I believe we both took Mississippi State.
Yes, it was. And, of course, you know the score ended 24-0. So, and I watched a lot of this game, and I don't know, dude. There were some questionable breaks, brother. Some questionable breaks indeed.
Yeah, and I mean, we kind of joke about, you know, the conspiracies and the refs and everything. And, you know, it's pretty stupid to say that the refs are winning these games for Alabama. But it just is it's just peculiar how it seems like time after time, you know, all this keeps going in Alabama's way and that they don't need it. Hell, if all these breaks went against Alabama, they probably still would be on this incredible streak, but it just frustrates a lot of people when they don't get these penalties called against them. And for anyone that didn't watch it, first possession of the game, Damian Harris, he had a fumble. You know, I gotta give the refs credit. It was close, so I think to the naked eye, I could certainly see why they wouldn't call it a fumble. But, you know, these games on CBS, we've got the beauty of 20,000 different replays. Like, it was clearly a fumble on replay. Mississippi State recovered. They didn't even review the damn play. And that wasn't even the worst call in this one, Shane. I think the worst one had to be the phantom block in the back there. They called against Mississippi State as they were Kylan Hill scored a touchdown on a pass reception. He basically, walked right into the end zone. And that came back. Mississippi State pushed back. You know, they got forced into a field goal that they missed. That's obviously led to this shutout. And I hear a lot of people saying, well, I mean, these calls don't really have anything to do with the 24-point win. But, you know, you erase a touchdown, you erase another potential touchdown drive by Alabama. Now you're talking about a 14-7 game with Tua getting hurt, and he couldn't even play the fourth quarter.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, you talk about a momentum swing. I mean, you get the turnover, who knows what would have happened. If they would have got the touchdown right before half, who knows what would have happened. I mean, the thing, say what you want, Alabama has got an amazing offense. I mean, absolutely amazing. I know we look at these two goose eggs the last 2 weeks, and we want to praise that defense, but Alabama's offense is by far more superior on that team, and Mississippi State kept them in check. But they just, I mean, any break, I mean, it had to be a perfect game. These breaks that we're talking about, Mississippi State really needed to have them to win this game. So I'm not talking about really the win itself, more the spread, but like you said, though, if some of those would have went the other way, this would have been a lot better ball game.
Well, let me ask you this, Shane, because in my opinion, I didn't really have that high of a respect of Alabama's defense until that LSU game last weekend, which, of course, they went on the road, got the shutout. That was a hell of a performance by that defense. Now they do it against Mississippi State once again, and, you know, immediately this may sound like I'm trying to, downgrade them, but in all honesty, these are against two offenses that are not that good. We've seen LSU and Mississippi State struggle on that side of the ball all year long. But both of those defenses did a good job against Alabama. You know, Mississippi State in particular, getting to Tua, hitting him low, and that forced him to go out. Mm-hmm. Do you think there's any chance that there's somewhat of a blueprint out there on how to limit Alabama? And I mean, obviously, I think you need a lot of really good defenders to do it, but it seems to me that LSU and Mississippi State's defense has kind of shown that Alabama's offense maybe, I don't want to say isn't fantastic, because it clearly is, but, you know, 24 points in this game, 29 in the last. I would think if they're going up against, say, a Michigan or a Clemson or insert playoff team here, if they only score 20 to 30 points, I think there's a chance Alabama could go down. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, there was a couple of – I don't – like you said, this is an amazing offense, and Tua is probably one of the best quarterbacks in the league, if not the best. And the fact that he's injured has – you can see just how much it hinders this offense. Mm-hmm. So it makes me wonder if this – how serious is this injury? You know what I'm saying? Because this is something that's been lingering for a couple weeks now.
Right.
And it seems like it's getting progressively worse. And that would scare me as an Alabama fan, just because, like you said, we got the SEC championship right around the corner. Georgia's looking better than ever. And not to mention, who are they going to play in the playoffs? So if Tua is sliding further back – and Jalen's not completely healthy. I mean, Mac came in and he had three completions for -1 yard. So He's not your future right now. So I'm a little concerned if I'm a Bama fan. But the fact that your defense is shutting these teams out last 2 weeks, that kind of makes it a little bit easier. You know, it gives you a little bit more breathing room.
Now, following the big win, Nick Saban in this postgame presser, he was asked about the hits that Tua was taking. You know, some Alabama fans were calling him out maybe a little too low, going to his knees there. You can't hit him in the head, so sometimes you got to go low. But here's what Nick Saban had to say on these low hits to his quarterback, Tua.
Look, NFL has a rule for that. NFL has a lot of rules to, you know, protect people, some of which people complain about. But I think we have a lot of capable people in the NCAA to make, you know, decisions about what are good rules relative to player safety. And I've always been supportive of those rules, and I think somebody else should really sort of, you know, make a decision about whether there's anything wrong with what happened in this game today. I'm not complaining about it. Football is football, and it is what it is, and we need to do a better job of protecting our quarterback so people don't get a chance to hit him.
All right, Shane, I mean, do you have any takeaway from that? I mean, it's kind of seems to me to suggest that he's saying, you know, he doesn't want to call anyone out, but it does seem to me that he's saying maybe we need to change the damn rule to where you can't hit the quarterback in the knees.
Yeah, this is probably the dumbest thing I heard Saturday from him. And this isn't the NFL. Granted, you've got a multi-million-dollar future quarterback on your team, but there's 130 other teams out there that don't. So I don't think we need to be just I mean, he wasn't complaining after the game when Garantano was on his back every time he threw. I mean, that would have been four or five personal fouls against Tennessee. So just because it's happening to your quarterback, I don't think we need to start changing any rules because that's not what we want. I mean, the NFL, I get it, 32 teams, they are the focal point of the offense. We've talked on this on previous episodes, but to change a rule because Tua's getting hurt at the University of Alabama because of a hit, which maybe it was low. You know, maybe this is something that we, I don't know, start addressing with, you know, you're talking about the, like, Muschamp's card system, you know, maybe something like that. But not changing the rules for one guy.
All right, Shane, so let's jump to Athens where the SEC East champs, Georgia, they won yet another one, 27-10 over the rival Auburn Tigers. This game was essentially over at halftime. You know, Auburn kind of came out. They put up a good fight for about a quarter. And then, you know, Georgia, they punched it in right there at the end of the first half. Actually, they scored, you know, I think there was about 3 minutes left in the first half. They shut Auburn out to a 3-and-out. Then Georgia came back, scored again right before halftime. And that put this game away. It was only 20-10, but it felt a lot bigger. Auburn did not score again. Georgia did score again in the fourth quarter. What's your main takeaway of, you know, I thought Georgia looked pretty good once again. And kind of like I said, this Auburn team I don't think is very good, and I think that played out.
I tell you what, man, Emmett Swift looked really good out there.
Yeah, I think, you know, I didn't mean to cut you off there, Shane, but that is a concern, I would think, for Alabama. If DeAndre Swift gets going, I think that completely, you know, that takes this Georgia offense to another level.
Oh, for sure. Him and Holyfield, you talk – I mean, they had almost 300 yards rushing between them. And I don't know. People were talking that Swift was – did you hear that he had groin surgery? That's what I kept hearing. Like in the off season or something like that, and maybe this is why he's had such a slow start this season.
Yeah, and I think he may have re-aggravated it. I think that's what happened at the beginning of the year. So he was, I mean, he was not even, I want to say that LSU game, maybe the Florida game is kind of when we just begun to see him hit that height, like get back to 100%. So he's basically been limited, I think, the first six or seven games of this season.
Oh, man, you talk about an awesome tool to have. I mean, those guys, they are hitting on all cylinders. And I really, the thing that I like most about Swift and what I saw from Georgia in period this weekend was the fact these backs also got involved in the passing game. That makes this team a little bit more dangerous. So that's what they're going to have to need. We're talking about how are they going to be able to beat Alabama in the SEC championship. They got to have an X factor. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you right now, freaking DeAndre's that X factor.
Now, let me ask you this, Shane. For anyone that didn't see it, I'll try to set it up here. But the score in the game, this was, I think there was 3 or 4 minutes left in the game. Georgia's up by 17. They ran a damn fake field goal where Blankenship threw the ball. You know, it was a chip shot field goal, but instead of the chip shot to make it a 20-point game, they faked it. He threw it into the end zone to try to get a touchdown, and he threw it a little too far. He's obviously not a quarterback. He's a damn kicker for a reason. Did not get that to come through. What are your thoughts, Shane, on why in the hell Georgia's running a fake like that with just a couple minutes in the game when they've just completely shut Auburn out?
Well, do you have the comments of Smart?
Yeah, let's go. We have both comments. We'll start with Kirby Smart. He was asked why he did it. And then we'll jump to Gus Malzahn. Gus Malzahn didn't have much to say on it, but Kirby Smart, he kind of went into his logic here.
Why did the fake field goal in the last few minutes?
Why not?
Because you had a comfortable lead.
Comfortable? What was comfortable? 17? 17 plus 3 is what? 20? And 20 is a what? 3-score game you lose, right? So the point differential is 3 scores. What good does a field goal do you? Doesn't make it any more. So if they don't get it, they're backed up. right? So the thought was, they're going to take three touchdowns to beat us if we get that. If we don't, three touchdowns is going to beat us right away. So it's all about point differential and decisions, and we wanted them to have to start back up. So it was something that was well thought out long before it happened. It was talked about during the drive.
What are your thoughts on Georgia faking the field goal when they were up 17 and the game was in hand?
No, that, you know, they coach their team, and we coach ours. I don't have any comment on that.
All right, Shane, so are you buying Kirby's bullshit on this one?
Yeah. Oh, Kirby, that was kind of a dick move, Mike.
I mean, it seems like they were just trying to rub it in on their damn rival, which, hell, I mean, you've got to stop them. You know what I mean? That old adage, like, if you can't stop them, you can't complain. I get that, but I just don't understand what in the hell was the point of this other than to make Auburn look foolish. And, you know, Gus Malzahn may have done a really good job of doing that himself. I tweeted this out. There was a clip that was captured. And, you know, before anyone accuses me of just running with this, I ran this by four or five different people. And because I thought Gus Malzahn said what I thought he said. And I asked them, and they all agreed. It looked like that's what he said. And for anyone that didn't see it, you know, obviously there's no audio to this clip, so I can't share a clip with you, but at one point during the game here, it clearly looks like Auburn says, "They better not fire me." What, you've seen the clip, Shane. What were your thoughts on it? And I don't know. I mean, that's a hell of a thing to say if he did indeed say it in such a big game like this.
Yeah, I tell you, I've watched that thing probably about 50 times, and I can't. I mean, the other word that would come up is maybe fine, but it clearly with Gus, it sounds. I would assume it says fire me. Now, has anybody asked him about this yet?
No, because I think that clip, basically, like I said, went viral. Like I think I've got like 5,000 retweets on it right now, but it didn't go viral until basically Sunday. So, yeah, he and his press, you know, next presser is not till Tuesday. So I don't even know if he'll get asked about it then. I would assume that he would, but we may not have an answer for a few days here.
Well, let's be honest, though. I mean, this is a game that no one expected Gus to win. So to think that this is going to make his seat any hotter, I'm not buying that, you know.
Right.
Now, you know, because if he drops next week's game to Liberty Flames, you want to talk about Flames, brother. They are going to fire you, but you know, they got that one and they got Bama. You know, they're looking at one more win, one more loss. But you definitely don't want to get smoked by Alabama then, maybe. I mean, because that's the Iron Bowl, man. You won last year, so you better keep that thing close. But I don't think Gus is going anywhere right now.
No, I don't either, Shane. But factor this in. They play at Alabama. Let's say they get smoked. Like, let's by 30 points, I mean, bare minimum, we think that's probably what it's going to be. He's got a 1-4 bowl record. What if he goes 1-5? I mean, we're going to be having to hear about this for 9 damn months, aren't we?
Yeah, absolutely. You want to talk about a hot topic when they get down there in Hoover or wherever the hell they meet next year, SEC Media Days, it'll all be about Gus and the hot seat.
All right, Shane. Well, someone that is clearly not on the hot seat, besides you and I's picks, basically, Tennessee beats the number 11 team in the nation, Kentucky, 24-7. We both picked Kentucky to win. I believe we both picked Kentucky to cover. They were, what were they, a six-point favorite. I clearly did not see this one coming. Shane, how shocked were you by the Volunteers just putting a whooping here on Kentucky?
Well, you know me. I think we're going to win every game. Even that Bama game, I thought we'd give them a little run for their money, you know. But I knew we'd get smoked. But I woke up Saturday morning, and I just had a feeling that we were going to win this thing. Of course, we've already made our picks and predictions and whatnot, so I tweeted it out. I don't know if you saw that. It says, it smells like victory this morning or something like that.
Yep.
And I don't know. It felt weird. It felt like, what does Kentucky have? I think this is more about Tennessee I don't think this is more about I think this is more about Kentucky not having something to play for, and a big letdown from that Georgia game. So you talk about scheduling this. I think that was a bigger part. And of course, you heard some of the players after the game, and it's what it sounded like.
Yeah, Shane, and I heard several people say, you know, Kentucky's offense sucks, blah, blah, blah. They can't do anything. And so to see them, you know, they put up 262 yards, only 77 rushing, which that was kind of surprising. But to see Kentucky's defense not show up, that it was a shocker to me. And, you know, Tennessee put up 215 yards on the ground. Garantano, another solid performance, 12 of 20, 197 yards passing, two touchdowns, very efficient performance. You know, starting to see some of his targets, you know, become legitimate weapons.
Mm-hmm.
Tennessee is not a very explosive team, but I think clearly that play right before halftime, for, you know, for anyone that didn't see it, Tennessee got the ball back with, I want to say, about a minute left in the game. They ran a bubble screen that was incomplete. And I don't know if you saw this, Shane, but Jeremy Pruitt ripped Tyson Hilton a new ass on the sideline. And during his presser, he was noting that, you know, he said, hell, we're up 10-0. Why in the hell are we throwing the ball? We need to get this thing to halftime. And what happened after that was Ty Chandler ripped off two big runs, put them in position to make a play. Garantano had a, I think it was about a 15-yard pass. And then they just said, hell, let's throw up a Hail Mary. And that was completed, of course, to Marquez Callaway to put it 17-0 at halftime. And that was the end of the game right there.
Yeah, man. It was – I mean, that was – I was on cloud nine. I couldn't believe it. And the thing about it was, like you said, you could tell Pruitt really wanted just to get the half, you know, and because they almost had that pick. And but he came out and – you know, Ty Chandler, I'm telling you what, dude, that boy ran so hard this week. So did Tim Jordan. Those boys, I think they averaged almost 5 yards a carry. So everything they were doing, it was just strictly downfield, and I loved it, man. There was a lot of push up front, and the defense of Kentucky, it just seems like they were just there. I mean, there was just nothing over there. In fact, we, toward the end of the game, if you didn't watch this thing, there were several times we tried to let them get back in it, and they just couldn't do anything with it.
Yeah, and, you know, we've got to give guys like Darrell Taylor his credit. He got 4 sacks in this one. There was a guy for Tennessee, Markel Osborne. He had 2 interceptions. So a lot of defensive players came up big. But I guess kind of my whole spiel here with Tennessee, this was an outstanding performance, all-around performance. But I just don't know if their offense, you know, people are getting really hyped up for this Missouri game. It's a little bit of a different animal because Missouri can move the ball. They can score. You know, they've put up as many as 60 points, several 40-point games and a 50-point game. Tennessee cannot really, like I said, they don't have explosive plays, and they don't seem really capable of driving the length of the field more than once or twice a game. So it may be a little bit of a different game here against Missouri, but this was definitely a solid performance and something to build upon. And, you know, I wouldn't put it past them to beat Missouri, but I think that it's just a different matchup.
Well, I agree with you, man. And I think this was more about Tennessee's defense than it was their offense. I mean, the last 2 weeks, 10 points combined this team's allowed. And it just seems like that young secondary is getting better every week. So that's something you want to see because a lot of those sacks that Taylor got, some of that was coverage sacks. I mean, Terry had nobody to throw it to. So you like seeing where that's going, especially when you got the Golden Goose coming in next week. But let me ask you, we've been talking a lot of Tennessee here. We got Kentucky. I mean, where do they go from here?
Well, let's jump to that then, Shane, because in his post-game comments, Mark Stoops and Benny Snell, you know, they both met with the media. They basically called out their team's effort and just not being ready to play.
Not a very good effort. You know, really starts with me and really ends with me. Didn't have the team prepared. So not a good enough job by myself. And got to accept that responsibility, get back to work, and do some things differently and try to get a better result. But not a very good effort. And need to do a better job. we'll get back to it on tomorrow for the coaching staff, and the team will get back at it Monday.
I don't want to say it's not serious, but I feel like just on the team, there's not guys that have that dog mentality. You know what I'm saying? That want it, that are hungry. You know what I'm saying? That are hungry for it and want it. You know? I mean, it was obvious that Tennessee wanted it more than Kentucky, so that's why the outcome what it was. So, you know, we gotta eliminate those guys that don't got that hunger, or if you don't have it anymore, we don't need you. You know?
Oh, Shay, so this is something that we both kind of hit on, you especially, that you didn't really see it from Kentucky in this game. Do you think Benny Snell and Mark Stoops, you know, they have, I don't want to say a legitimate gripe, I guess you could say, but is that what you're thinking happened here from Kentucky?
Yeah, I mean, it just really lackadaisical, and a lot of moping around, it felt like. So I think the wind got took out of these sails last week, and I don't know. Benny came out and he's blaming, it sounds like he's on the team and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't feel like Benny gave Benny running either. There was a couple of times he had opportunities and he didn't take advantage of. And maybe some of that negative mojo was rubbing off on him or something like that. But then again, here we are, you know, 10 weeks in, and maybe giving Benny the ball 40 times a game is starting to take a toll, you know?
So let's jump to the other side, Shane. Jeremy Pruitt, of course, met with the media after the game, and he made some interesting comments about, you know, basically the bowl game. You know, that was his expectation the whole time. That's the players' expectations. So we're going to play these comments, but I got a question that you're probably not going to like after this one, but I wanted to get your thoughts on it.
Well, I think it's important because, you know, University of Tennessee is supposed to be in bowl games. That's the expectations here. That's my expectations. That's our players' expectations. So, you know, and to me, just winning the next game. So we're going to go out there and do a good job this week and try to put a good plan together and give our kids an opportunity. And, you know, we'll be playing another good football team every week in this league. So that's all you can do.
All right, Shane, so the standard at Tennessee under Jeremy Pruitt, bare minimum, it sounds like, will be to make a bowl game. But is there any concern in your mind that, you know, it's not like he's saying that they're excited about their bowl trip because they haven't made it yet, but I don't know. Is there any danger Tennessee? It seems like a lot of these guys seem like they've already qualified for it when they still have to go out there and earn it. And based on what I've seen of Vanderbilt the last couple weeks, I do not think that's going to be a pushover. And based on what we've seen from Missouri the last couple weeks, I think Missouri would be favored against Tennessee. So is there any danger of them just throwing this bowl talk out there when the fact that they've not even earned it yet?
I don't. And I think that Pruitt's using this as the motivation. I mean, when you're seeing players tweet out comments about going bowling, they've got a goal, and their goal's to hit the bowl. And I don't think there's going to be any let up. I think that was a problem Saturday. Tennessee had something to play for and Kentucky didn't. So, and I think that's why it ended up the way it did. And hell, Pruitt, you can't get anything positive out of him, can you?
All right, Shane, let's jump to Gainesville, where another SEC East showdown. This one was damn back and forth, but Florida came out on top. Got to give them credit. They won 35-31 over South Carolina. And damn, the Gamecocks came out. Jake Bentley looked like damn Aaron Rodgers out there slinging it all over. he was damn near perfect the first quarter. And the fans are booing Felipe Franks' ass. So this was, you know, we talked about Luke Del Rio's comments on Franks last week. They talked about it for about 20 damn minutes during the game, talking about I thought it was funny. Greg McElroy called out Luke Del Rio and basically told him to shut his mouth. When that's all that McElroy does is runs his mouth. But, you know, he's just saying it's not his place to say all these things. You got Frank struggling, but he really came on there. And this was one of the most bizarre scenes I'd ever seen in a football game, Shane. Felipe Franks scored twice on the ground, and each time he put the finger to the home crowd, telling them to, like, silence themselves.
what, I mean, have you ever seen anything like this, Shane?
No, I haven't. I mean, I haven't actually. I mean, just getting mad at the fans. I seen Butch get mad at the fans, telling them to go to hell. But I've never seen a quarterback do it, and that's why you know Bentley did a thing at the beginning of the season, and of course I mocked it. But he says, you know, South Carolina, they disable social media, and I think that's important, especially because you could see it does affect your team. If you get caught on some of these, on these websites or some of these articles or some of these tweets, it can get between your ears, and clearly is between Frank's ears right now. He knows the faint. He feels like he reads 50 articles. He thinks 100,000 people are against him, and there's some season ticket holders up there that are rooting for him, and he just doesn't know it. So I think it is. I think it is huge. And probably next year, don't be surprised if Dan starts rolling out a non, you know, a social media thing, because, you could tell he's a little fired up about it himself.
Yeah. Dan Mullen, he needs to ban T-Bangs from coming back too. You know what?
Exactly.
After the game, Dan Mullen was asked about, you know, his quarterback and just, you know, shushing the crowd and whatnot. And these were, I thought there were some pretty interesting comments. Dan Mullen even said that he let Felipe Franks know he was going to get booed because he's seen it before with Chris Leak. So let's jump into these comments, Shane.
Well, he's an emotional kid. You know what I mean? I told him he was going to get booed. I've been here before. I remember, in 2006, I think we had a guy won the national championship for us, and we'd run. And you know, if we ran Chris, like every time, sometimes we'd run Tim off and Chris back on, and people were like, start booing him. I'm like, oh, goodness gracious. I mean, guy won. Like SEC's all-time leading passer, we're okay. You know, best position in the world. I told you, Emery's the most popular guy in town now, right? I mean, right? Trask gets hurt. Emery's like, I mean, he's the biggest rock star there is now. You're the backup quarterback for that. But I thought, you know, all week, you know, I thought he did a good job. I thought, you know, one of the things, I thought he really did a good job of running the football today at times. You know, and not, I mean, certainly you're not going to sit there and think that there's any, like, Jamel Holloway dynamic triple option runs from, you know, Oklahoma in the 80s or any of that stuff, right? But he ran the ball physical, he ran the ball hard, which is one of the things we're on him about, is just be a willing runner and be willing to be tough and get some tough yards when we need it. But it'd be a good game for Felipe to grow off of, you know, continue to grow, continue to improve. He's still a young guy, and gotta get better.
Did it bother you though that he did that to the crowd and told him to shut up?
Yeah, you know, I mean, but what is he, 19 years old, 20? You know, I mean, what bothers me a lot more, stay the hell off of social media.
All right, Shane, so kind of like you're saying here, Dan Mullen, not only against the, you know, he doesn't really mind the emotion here, but it sounds like he just minds him being on damn social media.
Yeah, absolutely. And clearly it's been brought up in practice. It's probably been brought up in these, you know, some of these other outside coach meetings that they meet Dan. And I tell you, old Del Rio, he'll probably never get invited back to that campus. So he lost his behind the scenes pass for sure. Not why Dan's there.
All right, Shane, on the flip side, South Carolina, they were up 17 at one point in this game, and then they just got fucking trucked, man. Jordan Scarlett, 18 carries, 159 yards. That's 8.8 average. LaMarcus Perine, 16 carries, 107 yards. That's a 6.7 average. Two touchdowns for Perine there. South Carolina just couldn't tackle anyone in this game. It was kind of pathetic. I mean, I know they're banged up, but they were just getting trucked after truck after truck. And, you know, with their defense struggling, with the offense firing, it just seemed like South Carolina went in super conservative. They just started running the ball like crazy, and it wasn't really working. And yeah. Will Muschamp faced some heat after this one on just his conservative play calling. And, I mean, he may be full of it here, but he says they didn't do it. So here's what he had to say on the game plan in the second half.
Well, I mean, again, we were running the same things we did early in the game and having a lot of success. We had the same run checks that we felt good about. They did a little better job leveraging the football in some situations, but we felt good about where we were.
All right, Shane, when you score 31 in the first three quarters and you get shut out in the fourth, are you really buying it that they didn't change anything here?
No, they did. They took the foot off the gas, man. I mean, I thought two times in this game South Carolina was just going to roll with it, and that was late in the first quarter when they went up 14-0. It just seems like everything Bentley was doing turned to gold. Florida gets back into it, ties it up, but then they go on a tear late in the third quarter. They're up 17 points. I said, here we go. And then you think, okay, here's when Franks falls apart. But they got back in it, and it was mainly because they changed what they were doing. They stopped being aggressive. They stopped getting Debo the ball. And this thing just – it ran away from them after that, because once Florida got the momentum, they weren't turning back. And freaking Muschamp, he just can't win in Gainesville, can he?
All right, Shane, let's jump back to the SEC West, where Texas A&M defends the home turf, beats Ole Miss 38-24. But this was an interesting game, Shane, because basically Ole Miss controlled it throughout. I mean, it was back and forth there at the beginning, but at the second quarter, Ole Miss takes the lead. They held it into the fourth quarter. And then Texas A&M scored 17 in the final quarter to just make it look like they ran away with this one. But they really didn't. And I don't know. I'm kind of losing a little bit of my love here for the Aggies. I mean, they got the win. That's obviously the important part. But outside of Travion Williams, check out this stat line, Shane. 31 carries, 228 yards rushing. I mean, if not for Tua, I think this guy would be getting more love for the Heisman out of the SEC. I mean, he's just doing it all. But the defense, not so much. Jordan Tiamu, 373 passing yards. A lot of these guys were outclassed, particularly DeMarcus Lawshane, 6 catches, 122 and a touchdown. A.J. Brown, 6 catches, 127. I mean, Ole Miss was doing whatever the hell they wanted for three quarters. But you got to finally give – I think you got to give A&M a lot of credit for, you know, they annually hear about how they collapse in these fourth quarters in November, and they finally got that monkey off their back. Do you think there's a chance, Shane, that – I know Ole Miss is not that good, particularly on defense, but 14-point win for A&M. Now they're going to host a top 25 team, believe it or not, in UAB. There's a chance for them to get some serious momentum here if they can finally shed these November demons.
Yeah, for sure, man. I mean, that's the biggest part. They've had some problems like they've had in the past, but they were able to get a victory. Was it the prettiest victory? No. But if I came down there and said, hey, Jimbo, give me $100 and I guarantee you'll win 3-0. It'll be the ugliest game you ever seen, but you'll come out victory. Mm-hmm. You know, he's going to take that bet every time. So how you get to the end, I mean, there's a lot of different ways you could do it. And it kind of worries me because, you know, mainly like that LSU game, because if they play like they did today, there's no way in hell that they're going to be able to hang on with Coach O's boys down there.
Yeah, and I mean, as crazy as this sounds, Shane, I need to do a little bit more study on UAB, but if they do not have a damn All-American type game here from Travion Williams against UAB, I could see him getting beaten that one.
Yeah, no, definitely. And a lot of people, I didn't even realize this. UAB sitting there at 9-1. I mean, they've beat Southern Miss, which gave Auburn a fit. Mm-hmm. They've beat North Texas, which has beat Arkansas. Mm-hmm. They beat the 49ers 28-7, which almost beat Tennessee. So, I mean, this UAB, you talk about a sneaky trap game, this is it right here.
And after the game, Jimbo Fisher kind of admitted, kind of in a sly way, you know, I don't think he was by no means ready to pull the trigger on benching Kellen Mond, but he admitted that it came across his mind here, and he obviously glad he stuck with him because Mond finished with a hell of a game here. But check out what Jimbo had to say about his quarterback after this one.
I mean, I could have, I could not have. You know, those are things you play by the ear, and you know, you always say when player drops, like when guys drop balls, you take them out. I just give them a series, see how they respond back, and he responded back. I mean, and the look in his eye was not bad, but there was, I mean, you could have thought if he struggled that next drive, I'd had to really seriously think about it.
And then Suzanne?
But you know what's funny? Everybody goes through that. When you're the quarterback, You're gonna have those moments. There's gonna be guys, man, should I probably take him out? Should I not take him out? Should I not have faith in him? There's no doubt I wanted he deserved the chance to go back in because I knew the look in his eye and the competitor he was. But we all face him. And that's what great players do that are able to respond to that adversity.
Suzanne.
Over here. Guess what I want to ask you about the quarterback? When you have a conversation with Kellen and it's back-to-back turnovers like that, do you change up what you tell him? I mean, what did you actually
say? Well, first I want to find out what happened, what you saw, so we can fix that, and what your mindset was. What were you thinking? You know what I'm saying? All right, what did I see and what was I thinking? Because how do you think going into a situation can often, as I say, you know, we often spend time with everything we do in our life, how to fix things. Well, as a coach, you try to prevent things. And I think a guy's thought process going into something is even more vital sometimes than what he sees. You know what I'm saying? Because if you think one way, that tells you how you're looking or where you're looking and will make you create a problem. You know what I mean? That's even more important than what you see actually when it happens. And then that's the second part of it. So when he was very clear for what happened, why he did it, what was going on, and then, you know, at least I knew there wasn't, and it wasn't crazy. It was the same thing I was getting back, the same thing I thought happened and what I saw.
All right, Shane, so what are your thoughts on that? I mean, it's pretty interesting. I don't think you'll hear many other coaches who clearly, you know, they did not hesitate to leave their guy in there and had a big game. I don't think I can recall a guy coming out after that and saying, hell yeah, I thought about benching him.
Yeah.
You know? No.
Yeah, me either. And just the fact that he said it, I mean, you might as well have done it because who knows how it rattles him in the future, knowing that he's got a short leash. I mean, Mond doesn't seem like one of those guys that needed a humble pie. You know, a lot of times when these quarterbacks are pulled, it's just to say, hey, you can be replaced. You know, if Bentley got replaced by Scarnecchian, nobody'd be surprised. But Bentley maybe needed a little bit of that humble pie. But here you got Mond. If you do that to him and then you put him back in, is that what you want? A rattled Mond out there? Because, yeah, he had some questionable plays, you know. Some questionable turnovers for sure.
All right, Shane, let's jump back to the SEC East. Missouri beats Vanderbilt 33-28. This was really a back-and-forth game, and I know a lot of people are probably going to look at this game and say, wow, Missouri really struggled. And I don't know about that. I mean, the guy we were singing his praises, Keyshawn Vaughn for Vanderbilt, 15 carries, 182, 12 yards per carry. I mean, he was already leading the SEC in yards per carry. That's just going to go up this week. Kyle Shermer, 24 of 35 for 249 and 3 touchdowns. I mean, this was a very efficient Vanderbilt offense. Unfortunately, their defense did not really come through because Missouri's a very balanced team. Check out this stat, Shane. 253 passing yards for Missouri. 253 rushing yards for Missouri. I mean, when you're getting that kind of balance, you're basically unstoppable. Missouri, you know, they just kept plugging away. Drew Locke had two interceptions. I understand why he's being considered, you know, a top NFL draft pick, but he has not played like that basically the entire year. And if he's off a little bit, this Missouri team they're very beatable, but you got to give them credit for hanging in there. And they've got a couple of really good running backs. Demarie Crockett, he had 122 carries on 22 touches. Larry Roundtree, 92 yards on 21 carries. So this was a nice win, whether people are going to respect it or not, for Missouri. And now they've won, what is it, two in a row before they go into this Tennessee game. They've got some momentum coming.
Absolutely. Well, you know, Locke came out and he said he's going to win 9 games, which, you know, maybe it happens because they're on a tear right now. And I thought Vandy had this game. They're really leaning hard on Vaughn. And like you said, he had almost 200 yards rushing. I thought the kid was averaging 12 yards a pop. That's unbelievable. So he was hitting on all cylinders. But give it up to Odom and Drew Locke coming back there in the fourth quarter to win this thing.
Yeah, if Tennessee is going to beat them, they are going to need to play like they did against Kentucky for the most part, a four-quarter game. Otherwise, I think Missouri will hang in there and they'll find a way to get that win.
Yeah, for sure. And same thing with Vandy. Vandy's got Ole Miss coming up, and then Tennessee. So they're playing for a bowl now too. So they've got a lot to lose. So these next two games, it could go either way.
All right, Shane, final SEC game. It was quite the barn burner here, Shane. It was in Fayetteville, but LSU comes away with a 24-17 win. This is one of the most damn bizarre games you're ever going to see. I mean, LSU was damn dominating this game. The score was 24-3 in the fourth quarter. And, you know, the Razorbacks scored two touchdowns there at the end to make it look competitive. But they had 91 yards of offense, Shane, entering the fourth quarter. I mean, they were getting completely blasted on that side of the ball. And then at the end of the game, this is one of the more bizarre sequences I've ever seen in a college football game. So the spread going into this game was 13.5. You went with LSU. I went with Arkansas. And I came out on top just to some nonsensical shit because LSU was grinding out the clock. They had this game secured. Their running back, Nick Brousset, he busted for a first down. There was about a minute, 20 seconds left on the clock. And instead of walking, he would have walked in the end zone. There was no one around him. He slid at, it was like at the 2-yard line. And yeah. Jordan Rogers, SEC Network analyst, is calling him out. He's saying, what the hell is he doing? He doesn't understand that if LSU would have just came out and taken three knees, that the game would have ended and there's no way they could lose. But if he goes up by two touchdowns, that gives Arkansas life. It's incredible to me that an announcer who played in the SEC does not understand football analytics, but that's what it was. But anyway, on second down, LSU ran another play. It was not a knee. They tried to score a touchdown again. Brousset, wide open, could have walked in. He slid again on second down. And then they ran another play from the one. They ran one more play, and they tried to score this time. They got stuffed, and that's how the game ended. Have you ever seen a damn ending like this, Shane?
No, and you know the thing about this is, well, you say, have I ever seen an ending? I saw one time, and I think it was the Giants versus the Cowboys. Mm-hmm. And the reason I was frustrated, if my running back would have scored the touchdown, I would have won. It was like a Monday night game. But he falls at the one to secure the victory, which, if you're looking at it, is it a smart football move? Yes. Is it a smart fantasy move? No. And so I think that was here. I think they were getting some mixed calls, you know, that they wanted to run the clock out. They were probably telling them, hey, you know, let's run the clock. Let's milk the clock. But they weren't expecting just to be wide open there for a touchdown, and they didn't know what to do. So it just kind of looks shady, especially if you're a gambler.
Yeah, I feel so bad for people that had LSU in this one because that was a damn excruciating loss. But, you know,
Coach O may had a little money on that one, you know. I mean, I Googled it. It's exactly 144 miles from Baton Rouge to Biloxi, so maybe Coach O owed somebody some money and he said he'd get it this week.
No, what about this game though, Shane, going back to it outside of the final sequence, any thoughts on just the fact that, you know, this was the final home game for Arkansas this year? It was mm-hmm. the first night game there in Fayetteville. It, you know, SEC Nation was there. Yes, it was a cold night, but I would think this was probably the best environment they had all season long. And they just, I mean, they put up nothing, you know, no. Nothing worth watching. I mean, is there any, I don't want to know if concern's the right word, because this team is terrible. They've won two games. But, I mean, is there any ill effects from this game for Chad Morris? Or is it pretty much just a lost season at this point? Just kind of, they do have like a, I think they have a top 12 recruiting class, so he's killing it there. But I mean, is it just looking toward the future for Arkansas fans, or what do you take away from this one?
Oh yeah, I mean, Morris left in the fourth quarter to go do some recruiting during this game, so you better get some offensive line, because they could not get anything going on the ground. And
16 rushing yards, Shane.
Yeah, no, I mean, but if you're an Arkansas fan, I mean, you've already flushed the season, I would think. I think you're more excited about that recruiting class and the potential of the future of this university than you are this year. But, the, you know, let me ask you something, because there were some boys on this team like Ty Story. Do you think this is the last time we see Ty starting as a quarterback at Arkansas?
I mean, it better be. I mean, no offense to that guy, but he's just – I think what we've seen of him, he's like a capable backup.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They need to put in – they need to do whatever they have to. They need to borderline – commit violations to get Kelly Bryant to come in, because if they had a top 10, top 15 recruiting class and a senior quarterback, not saying they're going to compete for the division title, but I think they could quickly go from, you know, a team that basically, you know, doesn't win an SEC game to they could win 2 to 3 to possibly 4 next year. I think if they get all those pieces and they all kind of work out.
Well, let me ask you this, talking about Kelly Bryant. You were saying, would this game hurt? I think it would hurt getting somebody like Kelly, because obviously if you watch this game, you realize real quick that they're more than a year away from a rebuild. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, do you want to go play there? You know, I'd be more interested in maybe in Auburn, where some good quarterback play could have kept them in that Georgia game because they started out strong, or Kentucky or something. I'm not saying he's going to Kentucky, but those are the kind of options I would be looking at. So I don't think it's going to hurt some of these young kids coming in, but if they plan on getting any type of grad transfers or anybody like that that wants to go to a program that's going to win immediately, games like this deter them.
Yeah. All right, Shane, so it's time for our weekly game here where we guess the opening lines, and we've got some real barn burners for this one, Shane. I mean, I don't know if you've seen this damn slate of games we got here, but for anyone that's not seen it, I'm going to run them down here, because there's some damn misses here. I'm going to tell you what. We got Citadel at Alabama, Idaho at Florida, UMass, Georgia. That's where SEC Nation is, Shane. Liberty, Auburn, Rice, LSU, and Chattanooga, South Carolina. Those are some of our marquee games here.
Oh, God, man. I hope you enjoyed it last week, because this week's going to suck. What's the 3:30 game? Is it Tennessee?
Tennessee, Missouri.
Oh, it's because who else you going to put there, Mike? A UAB game probably be interesting.
All right, Shane, so let's get to it. Anyone that's not been listening to our previous episodes, what this is, Shane tries to guess the opening lines, I guess the opening line, and then we reveal what it actually is. So, Shane, let's start with some of these games. Like I said, they're so great, like that Alabama-Citadel game, that there is no line. So, unfortunately, we cannot bet on that one, but... some of these other barn burners we can. Let's start with Middle Tennessee at Kentucky. What did you think the line would be for that, Shane?
You working at a bar or something? How many damn dishes they got out there? MTSU Kentucky. This one's an interesting one, because if the Kentucky shows up that showed up in Tennessee, this could be a close game, man. I mean, I would not be surprised if the Blue Raiders gave them a fit. So I'm trying to think, like, Vegas, what are they going to do? Because they got to take that into part. I've got Kentucky favored by 16.5. What do you got?
Well, Shane, you're just going to barely edge me out, because I had the similar mindset, but I predicted Kentucky would be favored by only 10, because I got a lot of respect for this MTSU program. But the opening line is Kentucky minus 14. What are your thoughts on the Wildcats, who 2 weeks ago were playing for the SEC East, now only a 2-touchdown favorite at home against MTSU?
Let me ask you, if this was 2 weeks ago and these guys were facing off, what do you think the spread would be?
Probably about 24.
Yeah, I think it has more to do with this week's game against Tennessee than it did the actual talent that's on Kentucky Wildcats team. Because if the Kentucky Wildcats get, I don't know, if they get fired back up, if Stoops can get them up, it sounds like Benny, obviously a team leader, is upset with some of the performance on that team. You know, that may be an interesting bet. Just because if they do come out, is this Kentucky's last home game?
Yes, it is. They finish at Louisville.
Yeah, so I mean, you gotta think about stuff like that because they got a lot of seniors on that team. So this may be a prideful Saturday, and I'm kind of looking forward to putting some money on this one, maybe.
Ooh, all right, Shane. Next game up, UMass at Georgia, SEC Nation. I can't believe they're going to this damn game. What's your opening spread?
This one here, I mean, God, all these are tough just because I don't know much about UMass. So I've got Georgia hanging 34 on them right now.
Ooh, Shane, you're going to win this one too. I said 30. I don't know why in the hell I came up with that number, but the actual opening line, Shane, believe it or not, Georgia favored by 43.5.
Jeez, golly. Oh, man. I guess they saw Swift and they thought, oh man, that's a good one. That's a good one.
I think we're going to get a lot of Justin Fields in this one. Hell, I would even fucking start him and then just let him play. I mean,
absolutely.
What do you got to lose? You know,
you're going to come out and you're going to do first half, second half, or
maybe even the first. I would just give him the first series.
I don't want Fields to get in there with the ones, I think.
That's what I mean, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, just let him come out and get it with some ones and stuff. I really think that's important. Get him some experience and get him ready for the SEC championship.
All right, Shane, let's jump to this barn burner. Rice at LSU. what'd you have this one at?
Oh, Rice. I've got it at 32.5.
Damn, you're going to win this one too, Shane. For some reason, I said 21. I guess I got a lot more respect for Rice than most people. But once again, Shane, LSU, same as Georgia, favored by 43.5 points. These games are sure going to be fun next week, aren't they?
Yeah, you thought it was my Rice Owls when we used to play NCAA. Oh, you couldn't stop the five and out, man.
Now, Shane, I may be mistaken on this because I didn't even send you this damn one because I thought Liberty was FCS.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm pretty damn sure they are. But there's actually a line for this game. If you had to – what do you think
– I don't have that, but okay. So
Auburn at home against Liberty.
Oh, man. Obviously, I don't know anything about Liberty. So I'm going to go Auburn 23.5.
Ooh, you were kind of close. Auburn 29 is the number. And I think that I think Liberty is FCS. So that kind of shows you that they are favored by less than Georgia and LSU against FBS teams. And they're facing damn FCS, which doesn't even have 85 scholarship players. What does that say about Auburn?
Let me ask you this. If Co comes around off the edge and hits Rice's or Liberty's quarterbacks at the knees, do you think we're going to have a rule change?
Yes, yes. Okay, Shane, let's get into some real games here.
All right.
SEC action. We got three good ones here. These are basically the only three damn good games. Outside of the UAB Texas A&M, there's no line for some reason. I don't know why. I think UAB's quarterback must be hurt, or maybe they think Kellen Mond may not start. I don't have a reason there, but there's no line. Okay. So all we've got is the SEC games. And let's start with Ole Miss at Vanderbilt. What did you think that line would be?
The Ole Miss at Vanderbilt, this was a tough one. I think this is going to be a good game, a lot like the Missouri game. Mm-hmm. And I think it's similar, and that's why I've got Vanderbilt favored by 1 point right now.
Ooh, I had Vanderbilt favored by 3, and they're actually favored by 2.5. So any surprise there to see Vanderbilt basically a field goal favorite there at home against the Rebels?
No, I think the Ole Miss and the Missouri offense is very similar, and I think Vanderbilt hanging in there and almost beating them, I think that's why they're going off this. So no surprise there. I thought it'd be close.
All right, Shane, how about this one? Arkansas at Mississippi State. What's your predicted line for that one?
This one here, I got Mississippi State favored by 17.
Ooh. Well, you're going to beat me, Shane, because I said Mississippi State 16 and a half, and it's actually 19 and a half, so nearly a three touchdown favorite in a conference game. That's a ton for a Mississippi State team that can't really score.
Mike, I'm on fire. I'm on fire today. I just think Mississippi State gave Alabama the toughest test this season, and they're taking that. Because if you think about it, before this game, they were kind of starting to find their stride. They didn't give up a touchdown. Don't be surprised if they don't give up a touchdown against Arkansas.
Yeah, and here's one thing that I think a lot of people overlook, particularly for a team like this Mississippi State, who they may say, hell, they don't have anything to play for, you know, like they're not in it anymore. But these games are important because this could be the difference between like going to the Liberty Bowl and going to a damn Florida Bowl, which everyone wants. I mean, you win, you know, eight games, whatever I think it would be if Mississippi State wins out. That's the difference between going to a good bowl and a not so good bowl. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Okay, Shane, final game on the docket, Missouri at Tennessee. What did you think the line would be for this one?
Oh, man, now this one was tough. And honestly, I think I got it wrong. I've got Tennessee favored by half a point.
Ooh, yeah, way off, Shane. I said Missouri by a touchdown. That's what I thought it would be. And it opened at Missouri as a five-point favorite. So are you at all surprised by that? It sounds like maybe you would be.
Hell yeah, I am. Well, let me ask you this, Mike. How many top 25 teams in Missouri knock off this year?
I believe that would be Florida. Would just be one.
Yeah, just one. Well, we have two on the resume. So I don't know. I thought that was a little disrespectful. That's what I thought because Tennessee looked really good. Mm-hmm. I mean, they beat 11th ranked team in the nation, and Missouri didn't. They beat Vanderbilt. So that's kind of why I went off that.
Hmm. Well, like I said, Shane, I think this is – I see what you're saying there, but I think that's – I think Kentucky was a really good matchup for Tennessee, and I'm just not buying that Missouri is at this point because they're far more balanced. Tennessee won't be able to key on either a run or a pass. They won't know what's going to hit them. But, you know, we've seen Tennessee show up one week, not show up the next. They are going to have to show up if they're going to play with this team. If they have another no show, they'll get whipped, I think. But I can't remember the last time. It's not really happened under Jeremy Pruitt, but maybe that Georgia game under Butch when a Tennessee didn't show up for an SEC game. So there's probably not much concern there. But they really have to. If they make mistakes, I don't think they'll win this one either.
Yeah. Well, I mean, don't be surprised, too. I mean, there's a lot of buzz going around here in Knoxville. And a lot of people are excited about what they saw last week, which is great because hopefully they have a good turnout and maybe a little bit of home field starts to sneak in, you know.
Mm-hmm. All right, Shane, so that's all I got on this episode. You got anything before we jump off here?
Yeah, buddy. Well, very active. We had a real good Saturday on Reddit. Of course, if you want to check us out, you can get on Reddit and look for That SEC Podcast and jump on there with us. We like to do – Mike does a game stream. He starts up and we just talk about the different games going on and have fun with that. So, obviously, I had a lot of fun just because my bowels won. But I do got a review. I appreciate all the listeners taking their time to hang out with us today and hope you have a wonderful week. But for the ones that take that extra step on iTunes, we really appreciate you. This comes from Memphis Mitch White. It's a 5-star labeled podcast. Love your analysis, Mike. Keep up the great work on the podcast. So apparently I'm not doing good work on the podcast. That's all right. Hey, you know, the whole point of this show, real quick, is, you know, Mike knows football. I mean, in and out. You're like the Rain Man of statistics. This is what you do 24/7. I don't. And I'm just a fan of football. And I think that's why this show's perfect, just because we got a good mixture here. And, you know, I lean on you, you lean on me, and I'm just having fun. And I hate that the season's almost over, but hopefully we've got several more seasons of this to get through.
Yeah, Shannon, I mean, that's all this really is to me, is just a good time. I don't think we take ourselves too seriously. We're going to get some picks right, and we're going to brag about them. And we're going to get some picks wrong, and we're going to just forget that they happened. But that's just the nature of it, Shane. We're just having a good time. You know, we're not taking ourselves too seriously, because at the end of the day, this is just, it's just fun, and it's just a sport. And there's far more serious things going on in the world. But if we can take like an hour out of your day and make you laugh and just talk some football with you, that's all we're trying to do. And we just hope to keep doing that for you.
Hell yeah. It's fun, man. Maybe one day we'll have a live show. All right, man. That's all I got, brother.
All right, Shane. Thanks for joining me as always. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in. We really appreciate it, and we'll catch you on the next one.
All right. See you guys. Go Vols. Upset.